You know, in one sense, the beginning of a new year is an opportunity to do a reset. While we can't have a do-over like that button there in the sense of erasing what happened in the past, that is changing the past, we can change the direction of our future. Hello? And make no mistake, it's only going to happen if we act and resolve to do our part to make the new year or the new week or the new day different. So for the next 20 minutes, I want to share with you a message that God has given me about three stages of resolve that I see in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Stand with me real quick and let's read out loud. We're going to do it a little different than we usually do this morning. Let's stand and follow along, say it along with me, and let's read together. Here we go. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And thank you for the power of that word to transform us. And Lord, I thank you for the anointing of God upon me to preach the word this morning and upon each one of us to hear the word. We thank you, O God, for transformation, transforming us, Lord, from victory to victory to the image of Christ Jesus into his likeness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If this next year is going to be different, and how many would like it to be different? You'd like it to be better than 2017. Let me see your hand. You want it to be better, don't you? Yeah. If it's going to be different, it will take resolve on our part. Understand this. God has done a lot of things for us, but God will never do for us what we should do ourselves. Hello? You know, you just can't sit back and expect God to do things for you that he said, you know, this is your responsibility. This is what you do. And so it's going to take resolve on our part. And I see Paul, in his writing, his first letter to the Corinthians, you see, the apostle points out that whatever the prize is that we seek to obtain, and in this case, in the scripture we've read, it's the prize of our calling in Christ Jesus to be like Christ, to be a representative of Christ on the planet. But whatever that prize is, if we are going to obtain it, the first thing that we must resolve is resolve to aim. Now, that's pretty rudimentary, isn't it? But look at it. He's talking about a race, and he's using that as a spiritual analogy, the physical race versus the spiritual goals. But he said, if somebody's going to run, they're running because they want to achieve the finish line. They want to cross the finish line. They want to get the medal. They want to get the prize. And so run in such a way so you've got to aim. So my question to us at the end of 2017 is this. Are you aiming? Do you have some goals? Are you aiming? You know, I'm going to be blunt here. I think the believers who claim Christ to be Christ's followers, who don't have an aim, who are aimless, are lukewarm Christians. They're just fine with mediocrity. They're just fine with, you know, so whatever happens, happens. Whether I grow in Christ, you know. People again, I'm blunt here. I believe that that's a skewed view that erroneously thinks that if I just come to the altar and accept Jesus into my heart, that's all it takes to really be a Christian. That's not true. If you're going to be a Christian, there are some things involved in being a Christian. You've accepted the forgiveness of Christ, but an examination of this text as well as the New Testament reveals that passionate Christians are not satisfied with aimless living. They are committed to running the race like they're after the prize. Take a look at this video with me, a little humorous poke at a new year.
This year, I'll spend less time with God.
I will hide my faith from my coworkers.
This year, I'll spend more in tithe less.
I will read the Bible as little as possible.
I will remain silent
when I know I should speak.
This year, I will not share my faith with my best friend.
I will shirk leadership responsibilities every chance I get.
I will continue to justify my bad behavior.
And give God my leftovers.
This year,
I will let the busyness of life squeeze God out.
So let me ask you another question. What are you aiming at? You see, it's not enough to just take aim. We must clearly understand, clearly define, clearly know what we are aiming at. In other words, what's your target? If you don't know your target, you don't will not know when you reach it or achieve it. Let me tell you that I believe that as believers, we ought to be setting both natural and spiritual goals. You know, we ought to, some things. I think you ought to be looking at what I need to do to be a better reflection of Jesus Christ in the way I live, the way I work, what I achieve, and what I do. Can I remind you that things that are alive grow, and things that are dead don't grow? I want to be alive. I want to be alive both physically and spiritually. I want to grow mentally. I want to grow spiritually. I want to press towards the mark and the prize and the high calling of Jesus Christ. So this means I'm going to have goals, and I want to encourage you that today or tomorrow at the latest that you write down some goals. Just get alone for a moment and say, God, help me to establish some goals. And those goals will look like this. They will be specific. You know, they'll be clear and well-defined. And they have to be measurable. You have to know whether you can achieve that. And then attainable. You know, for instance, don't write down, this coming year, I'm going to be a billionaire. I don't think that's probably attainable for most of us in here. Maybe. But attainable and relevant. So, first of all, we must resolve to aim. And I want to tell you as your pastor this morning that you ought to be making an aim towards running with everything you can to be like Christ Jesus. And then secondly, not only resolve to aim, but it will also take a resolve to achieve. Look at verses 25 and 26. Everyone who competes in the games, note this, underline, if you underline in your Bible, goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Aren't you glad for that? Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. Here's the question. What will it take to achieve what I'm aiming at? What the prize is? Paul says here, then what if our goal is in the spiritual race, the prize and the high calling of Jesus Christ, then we must understand there is strict training involved. Now, think with me for a moment. If you had to say what, in your opinion, was the strictest physical training you could ever think of, what would it be? I heard somebody whisper it. In my opinion, I think the strictest training that I've ever seen is becoming a Navy SEAL. I don't know if you've read very much about it or not. I just finished reading a short book by Admiral William H. McRaven. He is a retired U.S. Navy SEAL whose final assignment was commander of all U.S. Special Forces. And an aside here real quick, I want to recommend that you read this great book. It's an interesting and easy read. I would recommend that you read it here in January right away. In 2018. The book is only 125 pages long. It is very interesting to read, short chapters, and interestingly enough, you would never know or think that as you see the title that this was written by a Navy SEAL whose subtitle of this book is Little Things That Can Change Your Life and Maybe the World. The title of this book is Make Your Bed. Interesting. Again, the subtitle is Little Things That Can Change Your Life and Maybe the World. You see, the first chapter is all about the simple task of making your bed as a SEAL, a Navy SEAL, and how this is a part of the strict training, something that is so small that can become so significant. If you think about it, it's really the small steps that can seem insignificant, but it's these small steps that become so significant in the achievement of the larger goal. You see, the small steps are a part of the plan of action. So once I resolve to aim, and once I resolve to achieve whatever the goal is, I must ask, what is then my plan of action to get this done? So let's suppose for a moment, as we're talking about becoming more like Christ, one of the ways that we'll become more like Jesus is if we understand what he said to us, right? If we understand his commands and we understand his words, then we're going to become more like Christ. We're going to be changed from victory to victory and become more like what Christ wants us to be. And the way to do that is to read the Bible. You know, we've already talked about reading the Bible, and I'm glad some of you have already done that. I need to borrow somebody's smartphone. Anybody got a smartphone I can borrow? Put it up. Hold it up. Let me see. Oh, now that you got it up, here's what I want you to do. Now that you have it out, I want you to go to the YouVersion. Go to the App Store, whether it's Android, Google Play, or iTunes, and go to the App Store and download right now. This is what I want you to do, because this is my plan of action for you. I want you to download the YouVersion if you don't have it already. Download it, and then friend me. I want to be your friend, or friend Pastor James or Pastor Josh. Friend us, and you will see that we have set up already this next year that we're going to read through the Bible in 2018, both Old and the New Testament. Every day there will be a little bit to read. Now, the wonderful thing about this is that this plan of action has already been laid out. Here's the deal. If you didn't have this, you'd have to sit down and say, okay, I want to read through the Bible in a year. That means that I have to read these many chapters on this day, these many chapters, and you'd have to write that. This is already laid out for you that way. So when you get your phone in the morning, you just hit in the morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever you plan to read or listen to it, you just hit that app, it opens it up, and it will have the first number of chapters that you need to read this coming year. See, that's a plan of action that's laid out. And you can download that and click and save it, and you'll start on that plan. Again, the obvious is no matter my resolve, whether it's read the word or to run a mile or whatever it is, without a plan of action to follow, my resolve is meaningless. Before we move on to this final resolve, let me illustrate this truth by one of my failures last year. I don't recall whether it was in the time of prayer and fasting. I tend to think it was, but I'm not really sure. But again, I believe maybe it was in the first full week of the year during the time of prayer and fasting. I just really sensed that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was speaking to me that as the pastor of this church, I was to lead this church in greater times of prayer and fasting. I really felt like that God wanted us to be more intentional in prayer and fasting, and I was prompted to do that. And while I acknowledged that in my head and my heart, I didn't develop a plan of action. And surprise, guess what happened? It never happened. I've been reminded that several times throughout this year. And so how is this year going to be different than last year? Well, I've got a plan of action that I believe that the Lord has prompted on my heart. God is calling us to have intentional times of prayer and fasting to become more like Him and to see bondages broken in people's lives. I'm so sick of the enemy terrorizing people with addictions and bondages. I believe that God has established His church in Jesus Christ to set the captive free. Amen? But there are times where it takes more. It takes in times of just really prayer and fasting to see those chains broken. So I believe that the plan that God is laying us out here for us is a couple of things. First of all, I'm calling you and I to set aside Thursdays as a time that we fast corporately as a body. Whether it's a partial fast or a full fast, whether it's something in specific or a full meal or all meals in that day, that we fast and pray as a congregation for the outpouring of God upon this church to see it make a difference in people's lives. So I encourage you to join me within that, starting perhaps even this Thursday, but especially as we approach this week of prayer and fasting. Next Sunday, you'll hear more about that. It'll be the 7th through the 13th, as Pastor James mentioned a moment ago. But not only that, I believe that God has also spoke to me a year ago that there was to be a second week of prayer and fasting in the middle of the year. So in the summer, we'll have another week of prayer and fasting, a plan of action to achieve what God has said. Finally, if this next year is to be different, not only will it take a resolve of aiming, not only will it take a resolve of achieving with those plans of action, but it will also take a resolve to agonize and struggle to meet the achievement. Look at this. Paul talks about to win this prize, the high calling in Jesus, he is willing to beat his body and make it a slave so that after he's preached to others, he won't be disqualified for the prize. So the question is what price am I willing to pay for the prize? You know, this isn't all about me, but as an illustration, you know, there are several things I can think of. Pastor Josh is working on his doctorate. You know, he's working on his doctorate. And not only is he working on his doctorate, he works part-time here. He works full-time for a television production. He's a producer in many hats with Crosstalk International. He does photography. You know, I don't know what else he does. And in his spare time, he has a family. He's what? He's a professor. He teaches as well. So, how many of you know that there are really not enough hours in the week to get that all in, right? So, to fit that all in, something has to give. You have to sacrifice someplace. And he has committed to his family that he's still going to have dinner with them and family time and all that. So, you know what he sacrifices? Sleep. My whole point to you is this. That a truism, I don't know who said it, but the truism is this, that nothing worthwhile comes easy. It takes discipline. It takes, I'm using the word agony because I wanted A's there, but agony also means, to agonize means to struggle. It means to fight for it, as Paul was saying here. You know, in Western civilization, I think we have misunderstood in regard to discipleship that struggle and sacrifice are a part of the process of discipleship. You know, it's not an easy road. True Christianity is the greatest adventure that can ever be had on the planet. And it is the most fulfilling life we could ever have, but it is not without its difficulties. It is not without its sacrifice. It is countercultural. It goes against what the culture teaches. The culture teaches us just give in to our desires. But Christ says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Christ says that we are not to be devoted to gaining our possessions, but the greatest thing in our life is to gain Christ Jesus. And disciples of Christ are called to live dead to this world. So how will I avoid being disqualified is the last question in this resolve to agonize and struggle. You know, if we're involved in a struggle to achieve the goal, I believe that one of the greatest things we can do is not to attempt to achieve it alone. I was telling you about this book, and let me go back. I want to read a chapter as I close this message this morning. If I can remember my password. I just can't get it typed in fast enough. I want to read to you a short snippet from this book because I believe that what we need to understand here is you just can't do it alone if your goal is following Christ, being like Christ Jesus. He has given the body of Christ for that. I'm reading from chapter 2 of Make Your Bed. And the title of this chapter is, If You Want to Change the World, Find Someone to Help You Paddle. Admiral writes, I learned early on in SEAL training the value of teamwork, the need to rely on someone else to help you through the difficult tasks. For those of us who were tadpoles, hoping to become Navy frogmen, a 10-foot rubber raft was used to teach us this vital lesson. Everywhere we went during the first phase of SEAL training, we were required to carry the raft. We placed it on our heads as we ran from the barracks. Across the highway to the chow hall, it was on our head. We carried it in a low-slung position as we run up and down the Coronado sand dunes. We paddled the boat endlessly from north to south along the coastline and through the pounding surf. 7 men all working together to get the rubber raft to its final destination. But we learned something else on our journey. Occasionally, one of the boat crew members was sick or injured, unable to give it 100%. I often found myself exhausted from the training day or down with a cold or the flu. On those days, the other members picked up the slack. They paddled harder. They dug deeper. They gave me their extra rations for extra strength. And when the time came later in training, I returned the favor. The small rubber boat made us realize that no man could make it through the training alone. No SEAL could make it through combat alone. And by extension, you need people in your life to help you through difficult times. My friends, that's a picture of the church. That's a picture of what the body of Christ is all about. That when we're fighting this fight and we're running with purpose, that when we fall down, when we are at a place that we just can't pick it up and go any longer, that someone helps pick up the slack for us and carries us and helps us. You see, Christ Jesus has made the difference in our lives, and he is the one that we follow.